Have you got your white sheets in front of you, these ones, with the readings on? Fantastic readings that they were. Okay, no PowerPoint today. Okay, join me in praying, okay? Father, thank you for what you're doing this morning, just chatting to people in the break. I'm aware that you're at work in our lives and you're doing something, you're ministering to us. And so we're grateful that you're doing something, and we want to invite you to do more among us. Come and speak, I pray, through some of the words that I use and the thoughts I've got to share. Amen. Okay. Look at Luke 7, the reading that Tori read out to us. Okay, now when I open up a passage and think, okay, God, what are you saying to it? This is what I tend to do. I scan read it fast, just kind of read it. And I kind of ask God, you know, just let the story do its business and ask God, what are you saying to me through this? You know, I'd like to learn from this story what's going on. Second time through, I often will then go reread it, and I'll look for key words and wonder if there are some words that jump out more than others. So which is it for you? Which word jumps out for you more than the others? Because there's quite a lot of them, it's quite difficult. Well, no, see, the thing is, Paul, you're not trying to guess what's gone on in my head, although that's a lovely thought, but trying to work out what word jumps out to you. When you read it, what word jumps out to you? It doesn't really matter. You can maybe do that a bit later and read it through again and say, okay, what word jumps out at you? But the word that jumped out to me was see and seen, and already the phrase that jumped out was, what do you see? What have you seen? Okay, Jesus says it several times. So in verse 22, so he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. And then 24, what did you go into the desert to see? In verse 25, what did you go out to see? Verse 26, what did you go out to see? Okay, so what I basically did was just looking at the passage, just as some text, I'm saying, what are the main words that jump out? What are the stronger words, the words in bold, as it were? So my question today is, what do you see? What do people see when they look at the church? What do people see when they look at our lives? Last question. What do people see and hear about when they think of St. Michael's Church? Beautiful but dull? That came out of your mouth. That's fantastic. Very honest of you. Okay. Yeah, brilliant. Say that again, Pauline, so everyone can hear. Did you hear that over there? You didn't really hear, but she was saying it's a beautiful building, lots of faithful people doing praying on the inside. But what they really need to see is people on the outside doing things on the outside. Is that what you said? Oh, that's me done today. That's perfect. Yeah. Fantastic. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you today. There's an interesting distinction between the question, what do people think about when they think about you, and what do they see when they see you? Do you see there's a subtle difference? Often when we think about it, we start imagining all sorts of things. Like it's like kind of word association. Think of Alan, word association, fit, healthy, smile, yeah, okay. Now, the question, those are all based on things that you see. Yeah, but sometimes you might give a character trait if you just said, what do you think about when you think of Alan? You say kind of intelligent or something like that. We don't see intelligence, or we do see. I mean, the question is, how do you see intelligence upon him? You know, yeah? You with me? In other words, when you see something, it's physical, it's real. It's an actual action, a doing of some kind. To see something, it has to be in front of you. The character, it will reveal a character of something. So when you think of St. Michael's, I'm not really saying, are they prayerful, or are they nice? But really, what do you see? What do people see about St. Michael's? What's the biggest thing they see when they see St. Michael's? It's the building, isn't it? Isn't it the building? Would you agree with me that the building is the thing that people see of St. Michael's? And people often tell me when they come into the building how nice it is. They really, once they get in through the doors, those dreadful doors, those scary, scary doors, once they get through those doors and down that path, they walk in through the doors and they say, what a beautiful building. I've never seen it before on the inside. Or the last time I saw this was 36 years ago when I got married here, or something like that. Okay. What do people see when they see your life? Your life, my life. Have a think. What do they actually see? You know Big Brother? One of the things about Big Brother, the scariest thing about Big Brother, the TV program, is that people are on show all the time, isn't it? And we make evaluations about people's lives by what we see of them. We don't know what they think other than what we hear of what they think by what comes out of their mouths. What does your life currently exhibit? What do we all see from your life? This morning when you woke up, if someone was watching you do that, what would they have seen you do? Yeah, that's a dreadful thought, actually, isn't it? Okay. In this story, Jesus asks, John the Baptist is anxious about Jesus. He's anxious because things are, well, because he's in prison. He's having his life is being squeezed. And he's thinking, I've gambled my life on this thing. Was it really worth the gamble? I've presented this gospel. There is someone coming. I've prepared the way. It's going to be an incredible thing when he arrives. I've pointed him out. I've called him by name. I've baptized him in the river. I've pointed everyone towards Jesus. But is he really? Because now I'm really not so sure. Because I'm in prison. I'm feeling really low. I'm wounded. I'm broken. My body's been beaten. Is he really the guy? Was it really worth everything? So he sends his disciples, the people who followed him, to go and ask Jesus. And Jesus says, well, what does Jesus say? Okay, next, that's the question. You have to look at the text. They ask the question, what does Jesus say? What does the text say Jesus says? Wrong. No, he doesn't. No, interesting. The text doesn't say he says anything. He says nothing. No, he doesn't say go back. He does that afterwards. What happens? After they ask you a question, what happens next? He cured people. Read verse 21. Let's read it together. At that very time, Jesus cured many people who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits and gave sight to many who were blind. Do you think I'm reading it wrong? You reckon it means, in that time, he had done lots of healing and stuff, so he replied, okay, fair enough. Maybe you win. Yeah. But there was a thought in my head, and maybe you're right to question it. Isn't that good that we belong to a church where you can disagree with the guy speaking at the front? But there was a thought in my head that Jesus, the thing that is most important thing is not what the words come out of Jesus' mouth. The most important thing is what he's done. What have you seen? What have I been doing What can you physically touch and hear? What have you been hearing? What had they been hearing? It's not in the text. The text won't tell you exactly what they've been hearing. But what sounds would they have been hearing? Okay, what sound? Describe a miraculous sign, Tim. What does a miraculous sign? Happy people talking. Hearing the good news. Okay, hearing a message. They'd be hearing people being joyful. Anything else? Cheering. Weeping, yeah. Okay. Anything else? Any other sounds? Crowd sounds? Laughing, shouting, whispering. What? Chanting. Yeah, okay. Okay. You with me on this? What did they see with their eyes? What did they actually see? Okay, no, don't just tell me the word healing. Tell me what it looked like. Tell me, describe to me the picture of what they saw. Okay, tell me what that looked like. What did that look like? No, don't tell me what the scriptures say. What does it look like? How do you know when a blind person can see suddenly? What does that look like? It would be like one of the guys coming out of the wheelchairs, wouldn't it? And being able to see and walk without being anyone, no stick or anything needed. It'd be incredible, wouldn't it? If any, I mean, we've read it several times this morning already. And just pushing a little bit further into what it would be like, we suddenly get to the realization that Lisa's just said it would blow your mind, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be it's unthinkable. Because we have a whole load of blind, disabled people in our church, don't you think that makes it even more, in a way, unthinkable, the stuff that we've read about in this passage? Because we know what it's like to live with blind, deaf people who can't walk. We've helped them in today already. We've given them tea and cups and coffee. Can you imagine what it would be like if one of them got out of their chair, they could see, they could hear? Okay, and what would happen to us as that happened? There would be an incredible wave of something going across the room. There would be noise. There'd be chatter. There would be laughter, weeping. There would be incredible thing. And then the guy would go walking about somewhere, or the woman would go walking about someone, and everyone could see and hear. Incredible. Complete and utter transformation. Needs no explanation in a way, does it? In a way? I mean, it just, you see? Look at the guy. It's amazing. Okay, here are the questions again. What do people see when they look at the church? What do people see when they look at our lives? And what do people see and hear when they look at St. Michael's? Challenging questions now, aren't they? Aren't they? I feel challenged by them. Okay, this week I wrote this down. For the most part of the last 2,000 years, people have associated the word church with something on a Sunday, a service, a mass, a worship event, a teaching hour. As a result, other things are also linked to the word church, such as songs, hymns, buildings, pulpits, pews, priests or teachers, worship bands, liturgy, things you can see. All these things are good, but we want our church here in Twerton to be known for what happens on Mondays, not Sundays. On Mondays, we are involved in God's mission. On Mondays, we are praying and connecting with God, on our own and with others. On Mondays, we are engaged with the problems of our neighbours and our friends. On Mondays, we are wondering what God is prompting us to do or say or think about. On Mondays, we are at work or at home or at the school, and we are aware that God is with us and that we represent him. On Mondays, we are pouring ourselves out for the sake of the world, trying to follow Jesus' example. On Mondays, we are praying in the Spirit as much as we can, so as not to miss out on being a messenger of God's kingdom. On Mondays, we are making decisions about how to live, about how to act, how to think. On Mondays, we are avoiding bad things and embracing good things. On Mondays, we are with the poor. On Mondays, we are depending on God's grace for what we do, knowing that nothing we do without him counts for much. On Mondays, we are guiding our children and creating the right environment for them to grow up in. On Mondays, we are spending our money wisely and giving our money away. On Mondays, we are engaged in our world. On Mondays, we welcome in the stranger and the lonely. On Mondays, we read the Bible for our personal development and to feed our soul. On Mondays, we reflect to sit and think. On Mondays, we phone up our friends and eat with others. On Mondays, we decide to watch what to watch on TV and what not to watch. On Mondays, we are grateful for all that God has done for us and prayerful for everything that is out of sorts in our lives. On Mondays, we try to resist sin, and when we sin, we confess it. On Mondays, we laugh and joke. On Mondays, we exercise. On Mondays, we call in on those in need and call up those who need a chat. On Mondays, we take rest seriously and leave tomorrow's worries to tomorrow. On Mondays, we wake, we work, we play, we relax, we sleep. And on Mondays, we live life with Jesus. Making Monday special is our aim. Do you remember that campaign? Make Sunday special, or rather, keep Sunday special. Maybe our aim could become make Mondays special. And then I wrote underneath, and Sunday is another thing altogether. Do you remember when I talked about making the main thing the main thing? You remember that? The main thing being the kingdom of God. Thank you. Right answer. Jesus's thing, the main thing for Jesus was the kingdom of God. So he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he said, "I must preach the kingdom of God. For this purpose I have been sent." And then he told us, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you." So Jesus came to do something special, and to say something, and to announce something, and it was centered on the kingdom of God, the reign of God, or the rule of God, over our lives and over the world. Some imposter had come and had established his rule over people's lives, and over the creation, and over relationships. And Jesus came to invite people to enter his rule, a different domain. And our task is to demonstrate, I've written down here, our task is to announce, to exhibit, to display, to invite people into, to offer and to enjoy, to tell stories about the kingdom of God, just as Jesus did. That's our main task. And we do that by doing something in front of people, just as Jesus did, which was the most important day of the week for Jesus. Okay, we've got a vote for every day over there. Any other days? That day. Okay, that's good. I like that. One of the shifts that's going on for me at the moment is about how do we turn this thing that is so beautiful on the inside onto the outside. How do we turn and get this juice that we have on the inside of our lives and in the inside of our buildings and the inside of our worship, inside of our teaching, so that it's available to people on the outside? One of the things that struck me most over the holidays when I read through the Gospel of Matthew, again in kind of a big tract, was kind of big in one go, one time as a go, was just how much of what Jesus did was outside. Just all of the stuff was done on the outside. It was all done on the street, on the corner, in the shops, down the road. It was all done outside. Everything he did was on the outside. And even when he gathered them together, he gathered them in order so he could send them. Do you remember when he gathered the 12? He gathered the 12 in order to send them out. Then he gathered the 72 in order to send them out. This constant thing about being sent, being pushed outside. What do you see? Jesus asked. And then he asked it about John the Baptist. What did you see in his life? What did he exhibit? What did you actually see? What was on the outside? For the last 2,000 years, we have been trying to attract people to something on the inside. And I think God is calling us and many others in the church, and it's not just my voice, but I think many other voices, God is calling us to spend our energies to make the outside the focus of our energies. Does that make sense to you? Does that feel like what God is calling you to? So that you come to worship, to be resourced by God, to be connected again to the source of life, so that you can spend the rest of your life outside in his kingdom, showing and displaying God's love in a multitude of ways. Does that feel like what God is saying to us at the moment? It feels very strong to me. I'm getting a range of nods, maybe a few others. Yeah. One of the things we've been talking about over the last few months is we've been thinking about our house groups. How do we do house groups? And I think, to be honest, house groups have been an inside thing, haven't they? Come to the group, you kind of invite people, and then what should we do together when we're in the group? Well, we'll read together, and we'll pray together, and we'll chat together. Maybe we'll watch a video together and discuss it, and then we'll bless one another. One of the few things that our house groups have done, well, in fact, they're interesting. They're called house groups, aren't they? That's what they're called. They're not called mission groups, are they? Or outreach groups, or doing groups, or activity groups, are they? They're called sofa groups, coffee and tea and biscuit groups. If we had to describe our church, you know, if you go onto websites, you get descriptions of people's churches. The number one click on the right-hand corner, next to homepage, is our services. 10 o'clock Sunday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday evening. Other things, dunk. Others, house groups. It's quite difficult to get to the bit when you know what their people are doing the rest of the week. What would it be like if you clicked on our website and all it was about, well, what we were doing the rest of the week? This is what the church does, Mondays all the way through. And it would be really difficult to find out when they met together, because they're meeting together all over the place, all kinds of different times. They meet to pray and worship, discover life in God. You couldn't quite pin down when they met, because they're so much outside. Can you imagine a church like that? I'm beginning to wonder whether God is calling us to be more outside than inside, or that our inside should be driving us out. Is that resonating with you? So think of your house group, if you belong to one. Is it an inside group or is it an outside group? If it was to become an outside group, how would it become? What would it do on the outside? For what purpose does it exist? Who is it touching? Who are the people it's connected to? Mike's got an idea of taking healing onto the streets, or car boot sales, or doing healing outside of church buildings. He wants to form a group of people who are interested in praying for people outside the building and just inviting God's Spirit to come on them. Would you be interested in joining with Mike and being a group of people for whom quite a lot of their life, in the bits that you've got around the other bits of your lives, like the family and the earning money and all those things, that you spend a bit of time getting together with a group of people in order to make that happen. Would you like to join a group with Mike? Chris has got an idea about blessing the community, clearing, making difference to the physical environment around people's, whether it's gardens or whether it's inside their houses. He'd like to make a difference. He wouldn't mind being part of a group that spent their lives trying to work out how to make that happen. Yeah? Maybe they meet regularly. I don't know. I don't want to tell Chris how to do his group. He hasn't quite decided yet. He didn't know that I was going to mention it today, even. There's another group that meets down at Rose Cottage. They're a bit of an outside group already, aren't they? You kind of feel that. And church is growing down there. There's another outside group that's kind of meeting this afternoon at the rec house. And their desire is to be outside, connecting with people through music, young people through music and creative arts and drama. And that would be the core of their church expression. Tori and I have got a desire to want to do something in the school. The school love us. I mean, they will. If we wanted to do anything in the school, we could do it in the school. And everyone who comes, there's quite a few people who work in the school. Already, where's Ray? You work in the school. And now Charles works in the school too. And then there are others of us who go into the school. And then there's, if you're a church, if you're a school governor, put your hand up. See, look, see the hands go up. Ta-da. And Lucy's not here this morning. What wouldn't it be like to be a house group that wasn't a house group because it met in a house? Maybe you'd call it a school group or something. That passion was to bless the kids, to bless the teachers, and to bless the parents some way. That's what they spent their time trying to do. Exhibit and display and announce the presence of the kingdom of God in people's lives. Does that make sense to you? Now, I reckon if you were that kind of group, you would gather. Because you'd want to talk strategy and plan and share resources. But why would you be doing the gathering to be sent, to make a difference, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom? There's a group that meets up at the infant school. And some mums, they're Christians, and they get together. And what they do is they make cakes for every in-service day there is at the school. Every time there's an in-service day, they make cakes. And they also have started inviting the teachers over for lunch on Fridays or something like that, just at the end of, because one of them lives opposite the school. So they start inviting the teachers. Why don't you all come over? They're a governor. Come over to our house and we'll give you soup and rolls and maybe if you've got sandwiches. Just so the teachers get off the site and have lunch in an informal, just to create a bit more of a... And they provide the food free of charge. And the other thing that they do is they go and help read, and then they also have this thing for mums. They kind of have a coffee and toast or tea and toast thing on Monday mornings. They kind of open up this hut and they kind of just kind of provide tea and toast for people and people chat. One of the mums said to them the other day, said, "Are you up to something?" One of the mums was talking to someone else who they met in Bristol, who was a TA at our school, at the junior school. And the TA said, we're chatting about, they obviously recognised each other from having bumped into at school, various school things. They got chatting. And then she walked away. And then she came back again. She said, "Are you one of those that makes the cakes?" What do you see? If I had said there's a church up the road, what would you have thought I was talking about? Would you have thought I was talking about people who made cakes and had lunches? Do you see where I'm going with this? They are being church, animated by the Spirit of God, blessing their community. And they're known for making cakes and for being up to something. Wouldn't it be great when people talked about St. Michael's that we were known for a multitude of different things and that we too were up for something? And I think Sundays is going to be more special as a result. I think Sundays will be times when we gather together around those different groups. We get people up to the front to tell us, how's it going? How is your cake going? How is it going? Is it going? What's the pressures? What are the anxieties? Shall we all pray for these people? Yes, let's pray. And then we pray and prophesy over them and ask God's Spirit to bless them and equip them and send them out. That would be interesting. I think our worship would be alive as people came and joined these groups. So, is that what God is saying to us at the moment? I'm wondering what he's saying. Let me know what you think. Should we pray together? Dear God, thank you that every one of us here today is blessed by you and has been called by you to participate in your purposes and in your kingdom. And for the joy that we have received from Jesus, for the peace and the forgiveness that we have received from Jesus, for the being set free that we've received from Jesus, we give you thanks. And we pray that you would help us as we begin to explore more and more and more what it is to live lives on the outside. Help us to galvanize together around new ideas, people's ideas and creativity, purposes that are exciting and give us meaning. And I pray a blessing upon the seeds of the ideas that have already been spoken about, whether that's music and creativity, or whether it's healing and prayer, or whether it's making something good again and repairing a broken wall or mending some broken lights, or whether it's ministering to some kids and running a parenting group or making cakes for teachers, or whether it's a group revolved around the needs of older people, blessing them and drawing them to Jesus. Father, we pray for your Spirit to ignite us, animate us, and send us out in your name. And I pray, Jesus, this prayer too, that we would see people being healed and set free from the wounds and the brokenness that they've experienced on their lives, that we would take territory off the enemy and see people released and their eyes opened and their bodies made whole and their spirits set free out of their bodies. We pray that you would equip us with your Spirit and with Jesus' name to be your church. Amen. Amen. Let us know if you've got any other ideas for what you'd like to do. Form a group and we'll take it from there. Thank you. Enjoy being church this week.